lot more action.
Nice, fuzzy, greasy version of a New Orleans classic, A Certain Girl. And that was Band Rude Awakening. Before that, we heard A Little Less Talk from the Hillbilly Hellcats from the Early Days release. Even though that did come out a while ago, man, that song still holds real well. Yeah. That's the only thing with I still love me some Rockabilly. But I mean, it's strange. That, you know, like the whole connection between like a lot of rockabilly and, you know, there's a lot of rockabilly's all the racism, you know, because there's a lot of racism in that, you know, because in England, they said, oh, it's just for the decoration. But they do put up the Confederate flag they used to do that in England for the rockabilly nights, maybe because they just didn't know any better. But, you know, because I just got this kind of weird friend request from this rockabilly dude I haven't seen in like 20 years. You know, and I'm like, damn, he's this upright bass player from some band in Cleveland. And he sends me his thing. It's like, oh, there's all this QAnon stuff and all this garbage. I'm like, I want to friend this guy? Yeah, if he took one look at what I'm all about, I don't put anything political on Facebook. Just due to the fact it doesn't make any difference. And my opinion's my opinion. But I will not, I don't tolerate any kind of hate or fascism. Social media, even though it is a poisoned water, you know, it's still kind of like a part of our life. And it's like going into somebody's house. You know, somebody's going to go in my house and they're going to whiz on the rug. They're going to kick them out and they're done. They're going to come in. They're going to try and start a fight. I don't need it. You know? Yeah, it's just fasting. And even the weirder part is hippies. You know, Paul was talking about this. Hippies getting into like QAnon and getting to be like fascists. Hippies of all things. And you got to understand, you can take it all apart and say, you know, well, the guy is done. You know, it's an addiction thing. And now he made part of his addiction, you know, religion. And part of his religion is being this, that. And then you got to go down this road, the belief. And then before you know it, no, Jed is not a millionaire. But here's the thing. When you can get, it goes way back. And that is when you can get people to believe in absurdity, they can commit an atrocity. And a lot of people believe, very much believe in an invisible man in the sky. They believe in that. They believe that, you know, but knowing is a lot different than believing. If you're going to tell yourself a fairy story that everything's good and that, and it's going to help you go to sleep at night, that's great. But when you start implementing that into your everyday life and making a general jag off out of yourself and being just an overall, you know, not a good member of society. There's an interesting story. There's it's about a bartender. And a bartender's bartending, and this guy comes in, He seems like a rather nice guy. And this other guy comes in and goes, you know, you got to get out of my bar. And the guy sitting next to him is like surprised. He just kicks this guy out of the bar. He goes, why'd you kick that guy out? He says, well, he was nice and everything. He ordered a drink. He was very nice to you. He's very polite. Why did you kick him out of your bar? He says, well, because I kind of noticed he had under his jacket, he had a little pin. And that pin was like a Nazi pin. And he says, you kicked him out for that just because of his pin? He says, yeah, well, you got to realize how this goes. He says, you got to actually look at it this way. I say, okay, he's a nice enough guy. He's sure he's got this little pin or something. He's not hurting anybody. And he's hanging out. Then all of a sudden, he goes and he comes back and he brings a friend with him. And his friend's got like maybe another pin too. He sits down there with him and they're not causing any trouble at all. They're just drinking. And then before you know it, a lot of these people with these little Nazi pins are coming in. And then all of a sudden it's a Nazi bar. And then you can't kick them all out at the same time because they've already taken over your bar. So I thought that was kind of a fascinating analogy of things. You can't be tolerant towards intolerance because intolerance will come back and kick you in the ass. That's how this human things work. And that's why democracy is pretty much doomed. That and to the fact that Socrates actually said, there was Aristotle, one of the brainiacs, actually said that democracy doesn't work because people always make bad decisions. People always make bad decisions. I make a lot of bad decisions, but I try and make some good political decisions. But there's some people that have a history of making one bad decision after another, you know? They're on their like fifth marriage. They're up to their eyeballs in debt. They're, you know, they really have no curiosity towards the world. They have, you know, they're angry all the time. And then they're everything they possibly could have made a bad decision about. They made a bad decision, whether it be relationship, whether it be financial, whether it be self-help, whether it be health, whether it be anything. They've always made a bad decision. What would make you think these people would make a good decision politically? Ain't happening. So the best thing I can say is just kind of, in the words of Steppenwolf, keep your head down. Don't you look around. Hey, please don't make no sound. That's one way to get around it. You know, that's because actually John Kay from Steppenwolf escaped from Nazi Germany. And that song, I forget what the song was called, but it had that thing where it was like, hey, you keep your head down. Don't you look around. Please don't make no sound. You know, it's just, you know, it was interesting because his family escaped from Nazi Germany when he was a kid. So that John Kay from Steppenwolf. So there you go. Another nugget. Believe you, I know this is controversial. You might, just Nazis are no good. Hate to, all of them. Hate to be a generalization like that. They all stink, you know? What can I tell you? I mean, my dad fought against them. Everybody else's dad fought against them. I mean, there's a reason why people fought against them. There's a reason why anti-fascism is not a bad thing. It's a good thing. You know, it's all, you know, don't be a jagoff. That's all. Come on, man. That's all we're asking. If you want to do your stuff at home. Just don't be a jagoff and ruin the rest of the world. But of course, that's not just the way that works. That's not the way it works. You know, your religion and your beliefs are your beliefs. Please keep them to yourself. You know, it's like everybody, it's like everybody's got a butthole. Everybody's got one. They're like an opinion. Everybody's got one and they all stink. I don't want to know yours. You know, for example, like they have Jehovah's Witnesses on the campus here, which I think is weird, you know, and they actually say that they send people out to proselytize the life. You know, you never see atheists doing this. You never see Jewish people doing this. It's always these like nutty groups, you know, the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses and like all of these. And it's just and they're on a college campus. And all here's the thing. You say, why do they do that? There's two reasons why. Number one, it's team building. They say that they find the people that have the lowest amount of dedication towards their belief. Like, say, for example, they're one of the newer ones in Jehovah's Witness land. What they do is they want to solidify their team building, so they send them out to proselytize, because not to turn people more into their religion. That's what it seems like. But it is basically is solidifying them. You know, you're part of us. You're part of us. The rest of the world, they don't understand. So it basically is for to build their strength. You know, to help them build their strength towards their belief. So if that makes any sense. You know, they have them out there and then they come back and go, well, I got rejected by a bunch of people, but I'm with you guys. I'm stronger with you guys. Those other people don't understand. So that's how they do it. Another reason why they do it, they wait for people that are broken. Just got divorced, just because, you know, when I got divorced, I had some guys come over try and convert me. That was crazy. I'm like, dude, what is this? They try and get, and I, you know, they try and get you when you're broken. You know, you might lost your job. You might be despondent. You might just be a recovering addict. You might have just got through a divorce. They will quote unquote be there for you to recruit you. And I don't think it's for your own good. It's like a sports team. You know, the more members, the better. And that's how a lot of these religions are. All it is is like a sports team. How many are on this team? How many are on this team? How many are on this team? Oh, I'm going to go to this team. You know, that's why I put sports right up there with religion. Here's Buzz by the Three Johns. Enough of me. One last nugget. Trying to make sense out of nonsense will drive you crazy.
Woo!
nice tune there. The Three Johns from the Death Rocker Scrapbook, which was a really interesting cassette that came out way back when. It just got reissued. And that was Buzz. That was the Three Johns. One of the Johns being John Langford from the Mekons. But boy, do I like some Three Johns. So I got a call from the surf dude. He said, could you play a David Lynch tune? And he says, I don't know if you're into David Lynch. Of course I am. He wanted to hear Pinky's Dream. And I'll be honest with you. You know, people get really upset, and rightfully so, when people like David Lynch die and when David Bowie dies. Not so much the Davids, but you know what I'm saying. And you know why? Especially now, because there's no new David Lynch. There's no new, like when Tom Waits goes, there's no new Tom Waits. Or when David Lynch, Tom Waits, just the real off-the-wall thinkers. I mean, these people started early, like in the 80s. You know, 70s actually with their unusual brand of thinking and what they do to the art and music world. There's no new one now. That is why we're pretty much, you know, enjoying what we have, because they're on the horizon. It's pretty dark. The horizon's pretty dark. They just don't have these odd artists. You know, before, like in the 80s, it was kind of quirky, and there's, wow, everybody's just these unique, no new David Byrne, you know? Who is doing those cutting edge things now? Where are they? Where are they? That's why we celebrate the and I am not even going to use the word genius. I call it a unique human being. You know, unique human beings doing unique things. You know? That's why people freak out when these people go, because there's no one on the horizon. There you go. So, interesting story about this David Lynch thing. I want to play Pinky's Dream. Then I'm going to play the song. This is hilarious. They got me fired from the Ace Hotel. Remember the Ace Hotel? It was this like real hipster hotel that was in East Liberty. And they had WRCT DJs there. And it'd be like, you got to play this in the lounge, and you know, it's got to be all hip, and you know, because we're really cool here at the Ace Hotel, and I'll tell you, this is what got me. I'll tell you the whole story. So they always went like cutting edge, you know. So, but not too cutting edge, is really, you know. They're one of these people that would call them vinyls, you know, not vinyl. So anyhow. A woman at the bar suggests a Marvin Gaye tune for me to play. And I'm a very, you know, so I play, either play What's Going On or Inner City Blues. And I play a Marvin Gaye tune. All of a sudden, I get a complaint sent to me from the Ace Hotel corporate office there, saying that I really need to step up my game and stop playing so much mainstream music. So I went in. The first thing I went in and I played a couple David Lynch tunes, but I remember the last thing I played, they were furious because it just was so long, but it was so cool. Strange and Unproductive Thinking. I'm going to play that by David Lynch. So it was kind of funny that I said, you want cutting edge? I'll give you avant-garde and cutting edge, you know, like a deep cut by Beck. Yeah, right. No, I'm going to play something that is really going to open some brains up and get me fired. But I remember Ace Hotel never asked me back after I played my David Lynch set. But here's a request for, and I always liked the David Lynch stuff too, man. Him stuff with Julie Cruz and all that. That's why people get so upset. There's no new dude like that. Where's the new Renaissance people? Where's the new Renaissance people? They probably said that when Galileo died. Oh, man, Galileo's dead. Oh, man, him and Michelangelo dead. Who's the new Michelangelo and the new Galileo? I don't know, man. That's probably how they felt. Pinky's Dream by request, David Lynch. In your brain.
Thank you.
Julie Cruz from her, that first record that came out with David Lynch. Right around the whole Twin Peaks thing. And that was Rocking Back Inside My Heart. Beautiful. Absolutely. Just redefining groovy, cool music, in my opinion. Yes. Before that, Floating from that same record. I remember when that first came out. Wow. 1990? I don't know, man, but it was astounding. And we started out with Pinky's Dream. So this is interesting. The new Polka Maniacs album. See, you think, oh, David Lynch, Polka Maniacs? That's kind of a strange thing. Well, I wrote a tune that's on the new album. It's been remixed to sound like, it's called Dream Water Wheel. And this is kind of like my homage, the Polka Maniacs homage to David Lynch.
Mysterious woman.
There you have the new Polka Maniacs, yeah. Unknown Polkas, goth industrial remix polkas. That tune was Dream Water Wheel, written by Jenny Schneider and myself, and Bengt Alexander remixing the whole thing. So, yeah, see, there's the it fits perfectly in with the David Lynch stuff. I kind of like all that. All right, let's do this. So anyhow, here's the tune that got me booted. Got me booted from Ace Hotel because it was too avant-garde. It was too much. Strange, unproductive thinking. Zombo in your brain. Yeah, kind of going down a David Lynch hole on this. Yeah, you know, just, I don't like doing this because it's like a death dedication. But man, when you do it, guy leaves his mark on a lot of things, and not going to deny that, you know. Big influence, but, you know, nice it happened. Sorry he's gone, but man, it was great he was here. Strange and unproductive thinking. Zombo in your brain. David Lynch.
Safe nest just out of reach of small white teeth and noses. of all that lies within the crust, for it will now remain liquid and hold itself, remaining to stay close to that of the pure essence, which will remind us the whole, which will remind us the red cookie jar, and the smiles dancing around it in the golden winter afternoons, while the pipe puffs out clouds of smoke from the mouth of the father with an axe to cut wood growing on the tall mountains. Qualities inherent in the solutions to modern philosophical questions are accurate. The first and foremost consideration lies in the field of abstractions associated with the laws of nature, and with them the interaction of the primary forces of life itself, which have now been proven beyond a shadow of a doubt to have their basis in the field of the absolute or the vacuum state, bringing to mind the fact that there has been a reversal of sorts of the age-old phrase, you can't get something from nothing. As we have seen, this kind of thinking, which has been going on since the beginning of time, is just a smokescreen necessary to block almost all truthful inquiries for centuries following. And it is with this also in our minds that we see that the initial thinking on a subject is critical to all which follows, and can be an excellent partner to the dark and evil forces, which would have us living forever in darkness and confusion, refusing even to acknowledge that we even existed, or that there was such a thing as a bad tooth or a toothache. Bringing our discussion into the realm of practical considerations, it is interesting to note the possibilities of dental hygiene and the remarkable idea of a world free of tooth decay and all other problems associated with the teeth, tongue, or oral cavity, which would, in fact, become a prime motivator for a certain disappearance of fears associated with pain connected with dental applications, and even the idea that plaque could appear upon the surface of the teeth and the negative occurrence which follows, such as the hideous odors emitted from the oral cavity and the discolorations and the result of purification of the once beautiful mental images, and the possibility of the breaking of relationships based upon the idea of negative distortion of the mouth. For teeth, while not necessarily considered one of the primary building blocks of happiness, can in fact become a small sore, festering and transferring negative energies to the once quiet and peaceful mind, giving it over to strange and unproductive thinking. Strange and unproductive thinking. Strange and unproductive thinking. Strange and unproductive thinking. Unproductive thinking. Unproductive thinking. Unproductive thinking.
was the original version in heaven. That was in the film Eraserhead by Peter Ivers. Peter Ivers actually wrote that. And Peter Ivers used to host a show called New Wave Theater. He used to be on the show called Night Flight, and he basically had all these L.A. punk and new wave bands on. And he was a pretty irritating dude. So irritating that they found him bludgeoned in an alley by, I think someone beat him to death with a microphone stand. Yeah, can't make that stuff up. They never found out who killed Peter Ivers. But he wrote in heaven, you know, everything is fine. Used for Eraserhead. We heard Strange and Unproductive Thinking, the tune that got me fired from the Ace Hotel by David Lynch. Right now, we're listening to Laika and the Cosmonauts. They just re-released a Laika and the Cosmonauts Metropolis tapes. And it's interesting because they released it in sections. So there's no song titles. It actually comes up as part three when I'm playing. All right, Land of Twilight's going to be starting in un momento. So yeah, I had to do a David Lynch tribute thing just because I felt I had to. Because I had to. You know, I'm not much of a tribute guy. But when you leave the world a better place than when you got here, that's something. That's really hard to, do something good and make a positive effect. It's easy being a jagoff and making people angry. But to do something nice and positive and mind-altering, you did a good job, buddy. You did a good job, Mr. Lynch. Here's Laika and the Cosmonauts, I Remain in Your Brain. RCT, Pittsburgh.
listening to The Land of Twilight on WSET. Every Friday, 1 to 3, Land of Twilight with DJ Owl. We'll be playing all your favorite vaporwave and post-punk and all that fun stuff. Anyway, I'm just going to let the music play. Sorry. You listen to WCT Pittsburgh.